we thank you for your word, and we ask that, Lord, the truth that is there in your word, Lord, just open our eyes and open our spirit. Open, Lord, let it do, Lord, what you mean, overshadow my weakness, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Reading today, I felt like the Lord just kind of gave me this word, or the scripture, just to speak some things to me. And anything I ever, when I'm up here speaking, it's just things God is saying to me, right? It's the best thing to speak. Your testimony is the most powerful thing you have, right? So just speak what God is speaking to you. Well, today, I didn't know it until Stevie told me that today's the day when, throughout church history, one thing we've kind of got in the other ditch, Protestant ditch, is the celebration of different heroes of the church, right? Some of the martyrs. Today's the day that's been celebrated for a long time, much longer than the Reformation, is James, the first martyr of the church. And, James, the brother of John, was the first martyr. Not the James that in Scripture, that's the half-brother of Jesus, right? But James was the first martyr of the church. And we know, church history tells us, that the rest of the guys, the apostles, were also martyred. They gave their life, along with Paul and many others throughout church history, right? So this is kind of like the heart of a martyr, but this is a normal Christian heart, I think. But Matthew 13 is there's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Luke, there's all the parable of the sower of the seed, right? There's the word of God, and actually says it's the word of the kingdom of God. And so familiar scripture, you know, this, he spoke to them in parables. You know, Jesus always spoke in parables, and you get kind of an explanation in Matthew chapter 13 of why he spoke in parables, right? It wasn't to confuse the people. It was for those who had hungry hearts to come back for more and want an explanation of what he's saying. And he talks about that in Matthew 13. You can go back and read it. Tells that, you know, that the hearts of the people have become dull, their ears scarcely hear, and it says they have closed their eyes. And he said otherwise their eyes would see, right? So he's saying it's not something God did to that person. It's just something that that person embraced and did to themselves, right? Dulled their hearts against the Lord. So when he's talking about this, the parable, the sower of the seed, and he's, you know, this guy sowed some, it fell by the road. Then he sowed some seed and it fell in rocky places that didn't have much soil. It sprang up, had no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, it was scorched. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked out the seed. Others fell in good soil. And then he goes in them, you know, they ask for an explanation of it. And then that's when he tells them, we don't have time to read all of it, but that's the reason he tells them why he speaks in parables. And when they ask for an explanation, he said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what has been sown. This is the one on whom the sown was sown by the road, right? The enemy can be involved. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, right? So they can hear, immediately it's just snatched away. But remember what he's been saying about that, right? It wasn't just this, oh, that doesn't seem fair, right? But he said that these people, their ears and eyes have become dull. It just kind of hardened their hearts. The one on whom the seed was sown in rocky places, this is the man who hears the word, receives it with joy, but he has no root in himself, it says. Kind of an interesting thing, which is only temporary. But when tribulation, affliction, that word affliction means tribulation, or persecution arises because of the word, Mark adds, and temptation in there, immediately he falls away. Right? The word worry, and so this person, right, no root in himself, usually tribulation, persecution, all that, coming from people, right, others. So that immediately doesn't have any root in themselves because they're more consumed about what other people think of them than they are of what God says about them, right? Y'all, that is a big deal. The fear of man is a big deal with all of us, right? But this had to do with the persecution. And see, all the disciples before, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when they came to get Jesus, what happened to all of those guys? They all scattered, right? One came back. And he was just showing them the things within the human heart that is very possible, right? But after that, after Pentecost, these guys were all in, right? Even to the point of death. Because they had heard Jesus over and over again talk about, if anyone wishes to come after me, He must take up his cross and deny himself, right? Over and over. If you want to be my disciple, this is the life of the disciple. You have to die in order to live, right? You don't hear that much, but that's the gospel, y'all. That is the truth. I remember hearing the story one time. These two guys were in this cafe, and they were witnessing to a guy. The guy just kind of shares it with him, and he says, "You want to, pray this prayer?" And he's like, "Yeah, sounds good to me." And the other guy sitting with him says, "Well, are you sure? Are you ready to give up your lifestyle? Are you ready to die?" And the guy said, "No, I'm not." Then he said, "Well, you're not ready." Offended the other guy. I thought, "What are you talking about?" But he was speaking truth, right? He's saying what Jesus said this to unbelievers, not believers. He said to the multitudes and people, "Hey, if anyone wishes to come after me, take up your cross." They knew what that meant. They had seen crucifixions, right? They knew what that meant. And he says that over and over. So here again, this kind of person, the persecution, tribulation, his life is more dear to himself. Now, the second one, the other seed that fell amongst the thorns, this is the worries of the world. That word worry means divided. The dividing of the world. The deceitfulness of riches, going after riches. And the desire of other things. Mark says, adds that in there too, choke out the word. Right? So the dividedness, the worries of this world, the divided heart, where I want God, but I want this too. Right? And I knew this was the Lord because I was listening to worship on YouTube and Encounter Room. I really like that. It's Bethel Encounter. Really like that word encounter because it's all about encountering God, right? And so this guy pops up, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, just one of these self-help people. And why aren't people living the life that they were meant to live, which of wealth and riches? I said, that message just doesn't work like in India or Africa, right? Or third world countries where there's poverty. That would just fall to the ground, right? But anyway, just made me think of what the Lord is saying here. And that he was just saying the American dream, different things. You can call it whatever you want to. But that has to do with the desire of riches, right? What the world can give us is a divided heart. It'll choke the kingdom out. Chokes it right out of us, right? And then the other fell in some really good soil. And these people embraced it, heard it, yes, amen. And the kingdom of God, it grew in them. Then he goes on, talks about the tares and the weeds. This is Matthew 13. And then the one of the mustard seed. The whole thing he's talking about, the whole context here is the kingdom of God. The mustard seed being the smallest seed for them. When it grows, it becomes the largest in the garden. Right? Then he talks about the leaven, where this person put leaven in 3 pecks. Flour, that's pretty a lot. And then the whole thing becomes leaven, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, but in a good way. The kingdom of God being leaven, when it comes in us, it's supposed to just take over, right? And then he talks about this hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which the man found this treasure, and he hid it again, and then he went out and sold everything and bought that field, right? Probably thinking, there's more. If I found that treasure, there's more treasure here. But he was all in with his treasure. The treasure being, Jesus is speaking, is the kingdom of God. And then the costly pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant finding pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold everything he had. And he bought that pearl, right? All in. That's the only way the kingdom of God grows in you guys and me, is we're all in, right? Song of Solomon. Really cool thing about just this relationship with a person who's just in this transformation and growing with the voice of the bridegroom speaking and the relationship with God, and just this really cool thing. But one of the first things that the revelation that the bride was given, or the Christian was given, is that you have a vineyard. Your vineyard is your relationship with God, and you're caretaker of that vineyard. And then he goes on, there's a part in chapter 7 where he says, this great revelation of I, my beloved, his desires for me. And he says, let's go to the vineyard. Let's go to your vineyard and see what's blossomed there. And then again in chapter 8, you can go back and read these, about Solomon had a vineyard and he entrusted vineyards to caretakers. So we all have this vineyard, which helps about the things growing. And is your relationship with God and the kingdom of God within you? We've got to be caretakers of our own vineyard, right? To allow him. Now, does he come in there and weed it? Or we know he does that, right? In my union with him, he comes into my vineyard, but I'm a caretaker of that vineyard. Saying all that to say, the Lord never overrides your choices to long for him and to want him. If you long for him and want him and you're all in like that and your heart, you're just sold out, then it'll grow like this mustard plant. It'll just consume you, right? That's the word of the kingdom. That's how that grows in me. There has to be that place in us. Not that Paul says we're perfect. We haven't obtained it. We haven't, but we press on. Grab a hold of why we've been grabbed a hold of. We just grab it and we want it with everything we got. And there's this assurance and promise that's what your experience will be. I wish there was a shortcut. There is no shortcut to that. It has to do with you. We've all been given the same equipment. You've all been given a new heart and you've been given a new spirit. That's what Scripture says. We're all new creations. One thing I've seen throughout my years, 30 years now, and as a ministry before that, but 30 years as a spirit-filled minister, is you can't talk people into walking with God, right? You can't do it. I heard somebody tell me that early on, and it's been a really, and you can help them with their walk with the Lord, but talking them into it the first time is maybe presenting the gospel, and that's between them and the Lord. They receive it. But after that, if you spend your time trying to talk them into walking with the Lord, because it's between them and God, you know, really helped me, because sometimes you come away thinking, man, I'm just not, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. And all the Lord said, oh, you'd have to present it to them. It's up to them what they do with it, right? Sow the seed, it's up to them what they're going to do with it, right? Every bit of this has to do with the soil of the human heart, that person. So saying all that to say, in this time we are, you know, the season of Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God really growing within us. You know, the Lord will really leap over walls in the Song of Solomon. He will run to you, leap over the mountains, tear down, you know, move heaven and earth on your behalf. When you say, come, my beloved, he'll do that for you, right? He will weed your garden. He will run out the foxes. He will do all of that stuff. He will pull up the thorns. He will deepen the soil, whatever it takes. But it has to come from you. It has to come from a desire. Lord, I want this more than I want anything else in life. I want you. Yesterday we were celebrating, talking about Mary Magdalene, right? What a heart. She was all in, right? She had had enough of the world. She wanted him. And guess what? That's what she got in very powerful measure. And that's my heart for me, for all of you guys, you know, that you would run the race the rest of your life. Go after everything that God has for you, right? No holds barred. Nothing separating you from him. Because there's nothing worth it. Nothing worth it. Amen.